Here's Pastor Brian as he concludes this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and all this week we have been looking at the role of the Bible in Roman Catholic theology. And for our program today, we want to look at the subject of sola scriptura. And that was a term that was coined during the Reformation, where Martin Luther was arguing what is the final authority for faith and practice in the life of the church. The Roman Catholic Church argued that that authority rested within the church itself, as well as in scripture and tradition. But Martin Luther said, no, it rests in scripture alone. Sola is alone, scriptura is scripture. So sola scriptura. He also argued the other important doctrine of the Reformation, sola fide, which means by faith alone. Salvation is by faith alone. Those are the two main doctrines that came out of the Reformation, scripture alone as well as faith alone. And the Reformation brought us back to the idea that the Bible alone was authoritative for both faith and practice in the life of the church. All this week we've been looking at the role that tradition plays in the life of the Roman Catholic Church. And just by way of reminding you, I want to read from a couple of quotes which summarizes the Roman Catholic viewpoint on the Word of God and tradition. From Vatican II, it's stated that both Scripture and tradition, and I quote, form one sacred deposit of the Word of God. And that means that Scripture and tradition are in the same line of authority. They both are the Word of God to man. And then from the Catholic Catechism, it says that both sacred tradition and sacred scripture are to be accepted and venerated with the same sense of loyalty and reverence. So that is why when you're ministering to a Catholic and trying to share with them, and they come up with some unusual doctrine, and you say, well, where does that say that in the Bible? They are not thinking along those lines. What they are thinking along is lines, what has the church said? And when they make that statement, well, the church is taught, that's the same thing as when you say, well, the Word of God says. It's the same line of authority. Now, Carl Keating, the modern-day Roman Catholic apologist, summarizes the conflict very clearly in his work, Catholics and Fundamentalism. He says that we as Protestants are in error because, and I quote, we labor under the misconception that the Scripture has the last word. That states the issue about as clear as could be. Within Protestantism, we believe the Word of God has the final authority. In Roman Catholic theology, they believe that both Scripture and tradition together have that final authority. And with the rest of our study today, I'd like to offer you three lines of evidence against that mentality that Scripture and tradition are the final authority. And from the teaching of Jesus, Mark chapter 7 is crucial. And here he had a discussion with the Pharisees because they came to him and said, why do your disciples eat with unwashed hands? They weren't talking just about the cleanliness, but the Pharisees had this tradition where you had to wash your hands in a certain way before you ate, or that food would be defiled, it would enter into you, then you would become defiled. And Jesus responded to them and rebuked the traditions that they had that were actually keeping individuals from honoring and following the Word of God. And in Mark chapter 7, verses 8 and 9 and verse 13, he said these following words to them, for laying aside the commandments of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do. And he said to them, all too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. And that's the problem. When you have tradition, so often the commandment of God is that which gets set aside. And the Bible becomes subject to the traditions of man. As you look at history and you look at any group that has any authority outside the Bible, inevitably take the place of the first authority and the Bible becomes subject to those traditions or other teachings. It just continues to happen that way, group after group after group. Then people want to debate it. Well, that's one's interpretation. Well, not really. What happens is a tradition gets established, and then the Bible then has to conform to that tradition. And here's the real problem where Jesus says in verse 13 of Mark chapter 7, when man follows tradition and sets aside the Word of God, this is what takes place. He says, making the Word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. And that's what happens so often. The Word of God is made of no effect. And literally, in the Greek, that means null and void. So the power of the Word of God gets grounded out because people honor tradition above the Scriptures. Other places of the Scriptures, we could see that Jesus went to the Word of God alone and not to tradition to establish authority. And he had a dialogue with the Sadducees who did not believe in the resurrection in Matthew chapter 22. And what he did is he went directly to the Old Testament and quoted from Exodus chapter 3 and verse 6 to prove his point. But in Matthew 22 verse 29, he told the Sadducees their main problem. And he said this, Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. So they are in error in doctrine because they did not know the Scriptures. Then in Jesus' own temptation in Matthew chapter 4, three times he went to the Old Testament to quote it as authoritative. So we see his practice was to go back to the Word of God and to skip all the traditions that men had established to define what authority is. Then one last aspect about the life of Jesus, if one would read Luke chapter 24, verses 24 through 27, we see that he put his stamp of approval upon the entire Old Testament when he spoke of the law of Moses, the prophets, and the writings, that he came to fulfill those things that were discussed about him in those three sections of the Old Testament. I agree with what Martin Lloyd-Jones says in relationship to the Roman Catholic theology, in that it is not so much a matter of denial of the truth, but rather such an addition to the truth that eventually it becomes a departure from it. And that's what Jesus addressed, that these men were holding on to their traditions, which was causing them to depart from the truth. And that's what's happened in Roman Catholic theology with all the additions and trying to hold on to the traditions that have been passed on. Now they have actually departed from the truth of the Word of God. At this point, I'd like to look at what both Paul and Peter specifically said about tradition and the Word of God. Paul very clearly points out that tradition can be dangerous in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, where it says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." So even in the time of Paul, when he was writing, some of the traditions of men were conflicting with the teachings of Jesus Christ. Also in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 22, he says this, "Which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men." So you could have the true commandments of God that is found in the Scripture, but then also you could have additions to that, which basically are commandments and doctrines which men are passing along trying to bind people under. That's exactly what the Pharisees were doing, and that continued on even as the church was growing in the Gentile communities. And I love what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 about the Scriptures in relationship to Timothy's life, where he says, "And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ." So here it says the Scriptures are sufficient to make you wise unto salvation. But then he went on to say that the Scriptures are inspired by God in verse 16, where he says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." So the Scriptures are the Word of God. They're God-breathed, and they're profitable for doctrine as well as for instruction on morals and morality in the life of the church. And the result in verse 17 is that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So as one continues to study and submit to the Word of God, they're going to learn the practice which is acceptable in the life of the church, and they're going to become mature. And they're going to be ready for every good work. Not only does Paul have this high view of the authority of the Word of God, Peter himself also holds to the same position. A couple places in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, where Peter is discussing the power of the Word of God, he says, "We also have the prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to heed, as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart." And so here he's encouraging us to heed this light of the Word of God, because we're in a dark place and now the light of God's revelation comes to us. And I love what he says, because he says, "until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart." Until when? Until Jesus Christ comes back. We're to heed the Word of God because it's going to give us light in this dark place. And he ends this short epistle in 2 Peter chapter 3 in making reference to Paul's writings, how some individuals were twisting those truths. He says this, "As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to understand, which those who are untaught and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures." Then verse 18 says, "But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." So here he tells these individuals to grow in grace as well as in the knowledge of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So some people were twisting the Scriptures to their own destruction, but as for you, you continue to grow in your knowledge. Now, he didn't point to himself or to the church as the only infallible interpreter and teacher of the Word of God, but he exhorts them to grow in their knowledge of the grace of God and who the Lord Jesus Christ is. So we see from the life of Jesus as well as Paul and Peter, all having this high view of the authority of the Word of God for us to come under its submission. The last point I'd like to make is just that point, which is more from a logical aspect. The bottom line is when you have two final absolute authorities, they're eventually going to come in conflict. That's exactly what has happened in some of the cults. For example, the Mormons say, yeah, we believe the Bible is to be the Word of God, but yet they have all these other unusual and strange doctrines that Jesus and Lucifer are actually spiritual brothers, obviously so far from the teaching of the Word of God, but yet they say they believe in the Bible. But yet, here's what they say about it. They believe that the Bible is accurate as long as it has been translated correctly. So basically what that means is we could accept all of our Mormon doctrine and it'll never be in conflict with the Bible, because if it's in conflict with the Bible's been translated incorrectly. See how the Bible takes that back seat of authority? People may give lip service to it, but they don't submit to it as that final authority. Also, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they would say, we love the Word of God, we believe in the Word of God. But from their own writings, what they say is that without the watchtower, the average person would be in darkness in less than a year and a half and believe what the average Christian believes. And the Watchtower is that publication which helps them understand the Bible. So they don't really have the Bible as the final authority. They have the Watchtower and what their organization says the Bible teaches. And that's the problem with accepting two lines of authority, because they're going to come in conflict. And every time, what has happened is the Bible has taken the back seat to the traditions or additional revelations or additional books or whatever it may be. The scriptures are the ones which become subject to some other authority. That's why we need to be able to submit to one authority, and that is the Word of God alone. And if you'll do so, as Peter says, you're doing well to heed this light. I hope these studies on Roman Catholicism, which we have done over the last 6 weeks, have been helpful. If you desire, you could call us at the number that will be listed at the end of the broadcast, or you can look on our website at www.calvarylm.org. Our desire here at Solid Ground is to help you be better equipped for the work that God has called you to.